Always, always, always market in the voice of your customer and never in the voice of your organization. And if you don't know the difference, it means you need to get to know your customer better and ask yourself what if questions.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, you know I'm excited. This time, super duper excited. And if there was something over super duper excited, that would probably be my thoughts on this conversation. I am a big fan, an advocate, if you will, of great communication. And today, I get to talk to Steve Moulter about the three pillars of winning communication. We dive into value, passion, and connection. Of course, along the way, I ask Steve what keeps him up at night pertaining to B2B marketers and communication. We talk about how to get started with winning communication. We talk about hurdles, what success looks like, and of course, some words of wisdom along the way. This one is chock full of great stuff pointed towards the direction of being human in your marketing, human in your communication, and there's so many gold nuggets. Get that notepad ready. But before we get into the good stuff, let's learn a little bit about Steve. Steve Moulter, that's right, he's all about corporate storytelling. As an industry-leading corporate spokesman for global power brands, Steve Moulter has delivered more than 20,000 on-stage and on-camera presentations over 2.5 million audience members across the Americas, Europe, and Asia. Corporations like Cisco, Panasonic, Fujifilm, Siemens, AGFA, Volvo, Philips, and the list goes on and on. That's right, many more trust Steve as their storytelling face and voice, revealing the value, passion, and connection their customers, partners, and media analysis expect and demand. Steve is also a leader in executive presence in winning communication, training, and speaker coaching. He partners with multinational organizations, including Splunk, Spirit, RingCentral, Florida International University, and many, many more to uplevel their brand stories, and is recognized by C-suites and sales teams for personalized, engaging programs that bring out the very best in each presenter at any level in their career. Of course, you've got to check out Steve's new book. It's called Nothing Gets Sold Until the Story Gets Told, Corporate Storytelling for Career Success and Value-Driven Marketing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about Steve's newsletter. We're going to talk about all the things that you need to know about winning communication. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the good stuff. Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, you know what time it is. That's right, it's time to get into the good stuff. Because I'm sitting here with Steve Moulter, and I'm excited. A, in my life, communication has been a huge differentiator in things that are impossible to things that are possible. And for you, this conversation to be able to listen in on the three pillars of winning communication, not just generic communication, but winning communication. Today, ladies and gentlemen, Marketing Smarts listeners, we're going to talk about value. We're going to talk about passion. We're going to talk about connection. And Steve is going to lead the way. Steve, everybody knows I always start the episodes out with this fun question, it leads us in some really interesting places. And that is, what the heck, Steve, keeps you up at night around B2B businesses, or AKA B2B marketers, when it comes to the word communication?
Oh, George, great question. First of all, amazing to be with you. Great to be with your audience, your listeners. So appreciate the time and the effort here. Okay, so here is what keeps me awake at night when it comes to communication. It is communication that is strictly corporate and never comes from the human being, never comes from the personal. So many companies, so many organizations, so many of the people who work for those organizations get so narrow-minded, they get so blinded. Sometimes it's by the legal department, sometimes it's after years and years and years of churning out marketing and sales, sometimes it is forgetting the core base of the business, the original passion and inspiration that kicked off the business to begin with. For whatever reason, it's only talking about product, service, solution, capability from a position of metrics, data, KPIs, statistics, and forgetting all of the humanity, which means that all of that information is getting lost. And as an advocate for better corporate storytelling and communication, that is what I worry about all the time, because I see it 99% of the time, and man, it just makes my skin crawl. So we're going to talk about how not to do that.
And
how
I love this.
Sleep at night.
Yeah, I love this because it really is about the human element. And man, Steve, you are talking my language. I am always the guy that is, how can you be more human in your email, in your marketing, in your videos, in your communication? You know, it's the old school kind of like, let's just double down on being who you are and being the best who you are. And what's funny, probably a totally different podcast episode, but with the rise of AI, I think this humanness level and this focus on value, passion, and connection is probably like something we need to ramp up, but it's going to just take a like around a lot of humans, and they're not going to see it coming. So with that said, let's talk about, and I've mentioned, but I want to give you room to breathe around the three pillars of winning communication. Kind of talk about what they are and why the heck it's those three in your mindset.
It's a great question. Okay, I'm going to put a little note in your mind, just, you know, write it down there. Let's come back to the AI thing, because I had a recent experience literally just last week that perfectly clarifies the excellent point that you just made. But for now, let's talk about those three pillars: value, passion, connection. This is really the baseline. It's the fundamentals and the support of what makes for a phenomenal interaction. So when we talk about communication, I think a lot of people, they either misjudge what communication is, and they think about it only in terms of large communication. I am standing on a stage delivering a keynote in front of 1,000 people, or I'm speaking into a camera and I've got 50,000 people tuning in and all those different touch points. It's not really about that. Communication is you and I sitting right now looking into our cameras and talking to one another. It is you sitting across the desk from your boss or from a fellow team member. It's you trying to make a pitch in a room to 2 or 3 or 4 people. It's everything from the smallest interaction to the largest interaction. And what we have to do is figure out ways as a business in B2B marketing to level up the quality and the impact of that communication, no matter how small or large it happens to be, to create an effect, a result at the end of the interaction. And what I'll always give to my trainee groups is I'll say, this is the same if you've got a 1 hour presentation or workshop that you're delivering, or if you happen to be a medical equipment sales rep chasing a doctor down the hallway of a hospital and you've got a minute and a half to state your case. Interactions are every bit as valuable when they're tiny and when they're grand, and we have to think of them as one core piece. How do we think of them? In terms of those three pillars: value, passion, and connection. Value, super short for now, we can dig deeper. Value is everything that you say should be the benefit of the person you're talking to. If you're valuing yourself over the person that you are communicating with, you have flipped the general and generic and real value of the nature of the interaction. Try to make everything about the other person whenever you possibly can. The second part, the passion part, is if you do not show genuine excitement, ignition, passion for what it is that you are there to communicate about, you are putting all of that pressure on the person you are communicating with to develop that passion for themselves. When we show energy and excitement about our topic, our capability, our argument, our idea, whatever it happens to be, we inspire the same passion in other people, and we make them want to climb on board with us. And the connection part is what you talked about a minute ago to George. It is that humanity. It is looking at whoever you're speaking with, again, whether it's one person or 50,000 people, and saying, I get you. I know you. I am you. Your challenges are my challenges. My problems, my successes, are your problems, your successes. We share a commonality. So I'm not going to speak to you like an organization or a corporation, because people don't trust companies. People trust people first. And we can talk about the, there are also three layers of how we onboard communication and information. We can talk about that as well. But the minute you create that connection, you establish trust, you establish credibility, which means whatever you have to share, whether it's business related or a personal issue, you now have the foundation to be able to deliver that content, and people are 100% receptive to it. Value, passion, connection, the core of winning communication.
Man, I feel like we could clock out right now. Like, if people just took that and ran with it, it would be absolutely amazing. But I do have to dive in a little bit deeper. And here's the thing. There's a couple things I want to pull out of there. The fact that, the ladies and gentlemen, we as humans, we are a what's in it for me society.
Whiff them, baby.
Oh, and I love, Steve, that you're like, no, it's what's in it for them. Like, when you come to add value versus extract value, you will win more times than not. And then I love that you mentioned in there, I get you, I know you. And I would even add into that the power of I see you. There's just like, there's something to that that is amazing to people. And speaking of those things, you said, let's circle back. I do immediately want to circle back, because I am going to give you time to dig deeper into value, dig deeper into passion, dig deeper into connection, and what marketers need to know around those three at a deeper level. But let's take a pit stop, go off the beaten path, if you will, and talk about AI and human communication. What the heck happened recently that you want to share with the audience?
Okay, so I'm glad you asked, because it's a fun story as well as, I think, a very informative story. I put out a weekly newsletter, my Tuesday Tips and Tricks newsletter that goes out, and I highlighted this particular instance. My daughter is an excellent artist, my younger daughter. AI, of course, she's concerned about AI. What is it going to mean for my career down the road? Is AI going to supplant the individual human artist? I keep saying no, there's room for both. My older daughter is a musician. Is AI going to supplant some musicians? Yeah, there's room for both. So I started playing with AI maybe back in December, January. I went in and I was hosting a conference in the very first part of January. And I said, all right, just for fun, I am going to put in a certain amount of prompts into ChatGPT. And I'm going to say, good, here are the things that I want to talk about. Write me a 10-minute opening for this conference, because I wanted to see what it was capable of. It was total garbage. Everything it spit back was pat, bland, generic. No human connection whatsoever. I asked it to add a bit of a sense of humor. The jokes were, they weren't even bad enough to be fun, bad dad jokes. They were just dreadful, right? So I did it as a fun experiment, and I actually brought that experiment to the conference that I was hosting. And I said, I want to share some things with you. What if I had said this to you? And we made it part of a workshop because it was in everybody's mind. I kind of have ignored it other than the news items. Then last week, I hosted another conference down in Miami with a higher education institution that I've worked with for about a decade. And I said, it's been 4 months. Let's give it a go. Let's see how much it's learned. Everybody says every week it's getting stronger and stronger. I did the same thing, only this time I loaded in tons of prompts, including prompts that I had been told by the media will make the AI stronger. For example, speak like you are an expert in this subject. Speak like a mentor rather than a salesperson. I was very specific. It was even more garbage than it was 4 months ago, because now it was smarter. It got more verbose and it gave more detail, but none of it had a bit of real value, none of it had an ounce of passion, and none of it had any connection with the people out there. It's the kind of thing that you would expect a robot to write. And without the humanity, and again, I brought it down and I actually shared a little bit of it with the group down at FIU, but with a little bit of that humanity stripped away, there is nothing there for anyone to connect with. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever, and it was even more fun this second time around, because while AI is getting better in a lot of ways, what it can't supplant is what you just said, George. Human interaction. Speaking from the heart about something that you are not only an expert on, but also are deeply passionate about and bring your own individual experiences to when you communicate, because that is what hooks other people. Our experiences and the experiences of those we speak with, they align before we even meet one another. Yuri Hassan, I don't know if you've studied what happens at the Hassan Lab at Princeton, but he has studied with a lot of his students a phenomenon called brain coupling. And it's the concept that we share a lot of commonality that we don't even know about until we get into the room with one another. And the more we can bring up that commonality initially in the first part of communication and conversation, the more people say, I know that dude. That dude sees me, as George very wisely said a moment ago. You see me. You know who I am and you understand me. And that is something that AI, I don't know that it's ever going to get because it still has to be programmed. You know when you're talking to a human versus talking to a salesperson or talking to a robot. They are very different things.
Yeah, three totally different things. Although two of those might be closer to each other sometimes if you're talking to a bad sales rep. Just going to throw that out there. If you're talking to a good sales rep, then they're lean more on the human side, which, right, by the way, there's a podcast episode on Sell Like a Human that you can probably go listen to. But really the one that I want you to go listen to, if you're on the fence about AI and you're like, yeah, I know, I'm kind of ignoring it, I want to dig in deeper. You know what? Marketing Sports Audience, we did an interview with Christopher Penn. Man, amazing human. A B2B marketing deep dive on AI foundations, the future, tips, and more. And man, did he pull the gloves off when it came to what to think about moving forward to that. But Steve, I'm here with you today. I want to dive more into value. Man, I think this is a huge word. Words have power. And so when it comes to B2B marketers and this around communication and the word value, give us a deep dive of what we need to know.
All right, so perfect. And I'm glad that we are starting at the top of the chart there, because I think until the value is there, the rest of it almost becomes, I'm not going to say meaningless. Let's say it's definitely secondary. As you said brilliantly earlier, WIFM, what's in it for me? What's in it for them? And knowing which side of the table you're on, because a lot of people accidentally don't. They think what's in it for me, and they either do think of me as the communicator, or they think what my audience, what my counter really wants to hear is what I believe is most valuable for them. No, it's what they believe is most valuable for them, which means you have to know your audience. Again, whether it's one people or 500, a person or 500 people, you got to know them well enough. You got to do your research and your background and your foundation. But value fundamentally is the concept of the moment you open your mouth, the person sitting across from you or the people sitting across from you think, okay, I am going to walk away from this interaction with something that I need. I am going to clear an obstacle out of my path. I am going to surmount a hurdle based on the nature of this interaction. I have been seeking an answer to this particular question, whether it's personal, professional, or both, because everything we're talking about affects your personal life as much as it does your business life. A lot of people like to separate those out. No. Human interaction is business interaction and vice versa. So getting to the fundamental value of what that person wants and needs and what you can do in service of them. And I know service is an enormous part of your life, George. Anytime that you serve other people, you had a great conversation recently with Christine Gritman. And one of the things that she brought up and you reiterated was, are you serving or are you selfing? And I loved that. I had not heard it phrased quite that way before. But if you're in service of another person, it means you're providing actionable value for them. You are sparking their imagination. You're painting a beautiful picture of what their life could look like in some small or large way if they follow the vision that you have. You are putting them smack in the middle of that future vision, and you're empowering them to go out and make it happen for themselves. When you create that kind of value, everything else flows from that because they know they are in this conversation or interaction for the right reasons. They're not wasting their time, and they were smart to choose you to have that communication and conversation with. Create the value up front, which I call prove value first, and then continue proving value throughout the interaction, which is what I call prove value always. PVF, PVA is the acronym that I always work with. Prove value first, prove value always. Do that, and every interaction instantly becomes successful.
Yeah, I'm geeking out right now, Steve. I think we're brothers from another mother. I'm just going to throw that out there because there's a couple of things as you were doing that piece. I'm like, man, it's like the E.F. Hutton. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know I just aged myself. But when
I'm right there with you, baby.
When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens, right? Why? Because they had built a brand and it had become value. It was things that you needed to hear. And I just love this idea, too, of service. You know, that's a big buzzword for me, and servant leadership, and leaders add value, right? And when you get to this point in your life where your core like programming as a human is, I need to diagnose the hurdle, eradicate it, and help them reach their aspirational point. Man, people want to hear the words that are about to come out of your mouth. Here's the thing. What's funny is for me, that's because I'm passionate about the humans. So let's dive into the passion. Like when it comes to B2B marketers and what they're doing inside of their communication, their messaging, their storytelling, how important or how can they leverage maybe both of those? Maybe it's a two-sided coin question. Where does passion fit in, Steve?
So You actually just put it really beautifully. There are two sides of this coin. One part of it is the passion that you demonstrate. That is an outward affectation of your passion. Hopefully, ideally, if you believe in the core of your brand, if you believe in the marketing message that you have to share, if you believe in the ways that you deliver for your sector, that part is going to come naturally. You believe in your product, and I'm happy to talk about it, and I'm excited to talk about it. The other side of that coin is the non-organic side, which is, am I truly still excited about what it is that I create and what it is that I sell, or am I chasing a bottom line at this point? And what we find is that so many corporations, especially those that have been around for some time, it is so easy to have passion during your startup phase. You're trying to raise money, you're trying to look for foundational support, you're trying to look for investors, then you go into the launch, you're very passionate about the launch. Why? Because there are two of you, or three of you, or four of you working on the project. You built this thing from scratch, and you built it to fill a gap, a need in the marketplace. And you built it because you sensed, based on your business acumen, that you had something here that people wanted and that they needed. And it was so easy to get excited about that. And you were also the only storytellers. If you're the CEO of the brand of a startup, guess what? You are the storyteller 100% of the time. There's nobody else. Then what happens post-launch? You start scaling. And a year later, and a year later, and a year later, and you get successful. The company builds and builds and builds and builds. And all of a sudden, the storytellers are so far removed from the original spark that created that particular corporation. Terry O'Reilly talks about this all the time. Malcolm Gladwell talks about this a lot of the time. Simon Sinek talks a lot about this time, getting to the heart of your why. Most companies have forgotten their why. And inevitably, the person doing the storytelling on behalf of that brand doesn't have the passion that the founders had. But the founders may have founded it in the 70s or the 80s, and maybe they're gone from the corporation. Maybe they were forced out by the board because their original vision didn't adapt enough over time for what the board and the shareholders were most satisfied with. So getting passion initially, easy. Maintaining passion over time, very hard. So what I like to do when I'm working with people that I coach and with teams that I train is when it comes to discovering the passion in why you do what you do, it's not about the product. It's about the service that your product creates for another person. And one of the analogies that I love to use in my book, I bring this up, is let's say that your organization, your B2B organization, you create gloves, rubber gloves, just regular plastic rubber gloves that people use. Well, so do 100 other companies and competitors. And your job is to sell rubber gloves. And you really don't have much passion for rubber gloves. They're your job. They're your income. They're your paycheck. It's not the glove. What does the glove do? Well, the glove allows the nurse at your child's school to be able to interact with as many kids as possible during the day so that we keep sickness at a minimum so your child can stay in school and everybody stays healthy around your kindergartner's classroom. Your gloves allow a mother who's trying to hold her baby in the neonatal infant care unit at the hospital to actually have physical contact with her child. Without the right pair of rubber gloves, that doesn't happen. Somebody who is on a job site who does not have the correct pair of gloves gets injured or gets killed. These are real human issues that face every single one of us. And if we tell stories based around those issues, the gloves sell themselves. It's second nature. If all you're going to do is talk about the tensile strength of your glove, about how much more comfortable they are, about how better fit, well, guess what? All your competitors are telling that exact same story. It doesn't land with people. It's the personal communication that is what creates the passion for you and creates the passion in your listener.
Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? It's so interesting because my mind goes to fundamentally, I wish each individual human could understand it's about reprogramming their brain, right? You mentioned the gloves. And I thought to myself, yeah, how many people, when somebody says, hey, what do you do for a living? Go, well, I save people from injury and death on a daily basis. Or they say, I'm a glove salesman, which
yes,
doesn't
they
excite
all say I'm a glove salesman.
Yep, exactly.
Right? There's a personal story. If you explain your job as the way you make money, your B2B branding, your B2B marketing is off. You've lost the vision. You've lost your own narrative. Why do you do what you do? Tell that story. Your product sells itself.
Yeah, love it. I want to pause for a minute because I know I want to talk about connection. It's going to be a massive section. So ladies and gentlemen, stick around. But Steve, you mentioned two things that I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a chance to talk about. One, you mentioned your newsletter. If people want to get your newsletter, get tied in, where should they go?
Oh, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. So I'm pretty easy to track down. So you can see right behind me, Steve Moulter, Corporate Storytelling. Search that. You're going to find me literally everywhere. The name of the book that I just put out is called Nothing Gets Sold Until the Story Gets Told. Corporate Storytelling for, we'll talk about it, career success and value-driven marketing, which is what we're going after here. But the newsletter is all connected into my other website, which is corporatestorytelling.com. So you can look at Steve Moulter. .com for everything else that I do, but when it comes to the newsletter, the book, and all that, corporatestorytelling.com, and since that's what we're talking about here, it's as easy to track as possible. You're going to find a number of different ways to sign up for the newsletter. I also want to mention, normally we'd save this for the end, let's just do it now. I've got a free e-guide that's really cool that I created for anybody, any level of your career, any location, any kind of organization you work for or as an independent contractor, wherever you sit in your career right now. It's a great e-guide called 5 Paths to Passionate Storytelling. And anybody can go and download it right now. Go to corporatestorytelling.com/guide. That's going to bring you right to it. And then you're going to put in a code, and the code is SOLDTOLD23. SOLDTOLD23. Put that in, you'll get the e-guide. You can sign up for the newsletter, and you can learn a whole lot more from there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know what I'm going to do after this interview, and we'll make sure to put the links in the show notes as well so you can get to them.
And great, your book is coming to you, by the way, because you're giving me the address, and the book is on its way to you. I just wanted to
there
let
we
know.
Go. I can't hey. Wait. I love it. So let's dig back into the good stuff, and let's talk about B2B marketers and what might be the most important, but I fear is sometimes the most difficult. And that is the connection portion of this. What do B2B marketers need to know when it comes to layering on connection above and beyond and into the passion and value that we've talked about?
Okay, so this is actually my favorite one to talk about because as you said a moment ago, and rightly so, this one gets deep. So I always connect connection to structure. All right, we learn when it comes to any type of storytelling, whatever it happens to be, again, a one-on-one personal communication or something that is very business related where you're trying to move product or you're trying to create some sort of an association between corporations, anything that is connection-based begins and ends with good structure. Your audience, one person or 1,000 people, they have to follow the track of what you're after. What are you trying to accomplish within this interaction? Bad structure in communication creates confusion and it creates disconnection. People don't follow bad structure. They don't know where to go. What are we doing here? What is the point? Why am I investing my time, my interest? We are not seeing eye to eye with one another. We're not speaking on the same level. Good structure is going to help. Good structure, in my view, always begins with an initial clarity that puts the people above the content. Human first, right? We've talked about it again and again, and it's such an important part of what you do. So, as a little sidebar to that, there are 3 levels of information incorporation that I think are so vital to create good connection. And it's the way all of us, no matter who we are, hear and process data as it onboards. So right now, the estimate, I don't know that anybody can scientifically prove it, but the estimate is every single one of us, you, George, me, Steve, whoever you happen to look at, whether it's Joe Biden or whether it's Jamie Dimon or whoever it happens to be, no matter what level of power, control, money, association, level, authority you happen to have, we all process information on 3 levels. First, we process it on a human level. Number 1, as any piece of data stimulus arrives, of the 10,000 pieces of stimuli per day that hit us, we immediately bin that content into high value, medium value, low value, or no value. And almost all of it goes directly to low value and no value because we just can't incorporate that much data. We first process on a human level. Does this appeal to me on a moral level, on a subconscious level? Do I like what I'm hearing? Do I like the person delivering the information to me? What is my emotional, gut, initial response? And if it's good, then we will move to the next level. If not, it gets thrown out and we never hear anything more, which unfortunately is what most B2B marketing is. It goes straight to the low value, no value bins. Second, we hear and process information as consumers. Notice we're not at employees yet. Consumers second. Would I buy this? Meaning, would I buy it with my money? Would I buy it with my time? Would I buy it with my personal investment? Do I prioritize it over the other elements and aspects in my life to the point that I would create an investment in this idea, concept, capability, solution, service, product? If it then makes it past that level, then we go to number three, which is the flip side of what most marketing does. Now, on level three, we process as employees, which means as corporations. Guess what almost all B2B marketing is? Take that model, flip it upside down. Begin by processing or by selling or communicating with the company, then go to the consumer, and then put the human last. Every B2B marketer should start flipping that on its head. If you want to create connection with your audience, you begin by speaking to them on a human level. Then if you get through that process, you go to the consumer level. Third is where you speak to them as a company, a corporation, or an employee. And I'm telling you, if you remember one key takeaway from our conversation today, for everybody who's listening in, let it be that one. Start with the human to create the connection first before you move to content, data, support, or arguments. Those are all secondary, but we all learned in business school to go the other way around. Again, it's Simon Sinek, right? It's the golden circle. It start with why, it's his concept, it's just another way of saying it, which has been said again and again and again throughout business history. You can go back to Henry Ford and find the same concepts, but if you start with, here is what we do, here's how we do it, and here's why we do it, you're marketing wrong. You start with the why, then you go to the how, the what is last.
Yeah, the fundamental principles never change. They get just told in a different way. And it's funny because I know right now, Steve, the Marketing Smarts listeners are probably like, all right, like we're bought in, we're good to go. Like the three pillars, I get it. I want to, as a human, have winning communication. And that leads me to my next question, because earlier that I'm kind of tying back to, you said something about onboarding communication and like onboarding winning communication. To me, that's like, well, okay, onboarding is getting started. So how in the world, like they're listening to this podcast episode, you know, obviously they take all the information they learn here, they go get the book, they read the book, but what else can they do to get started to flip this model that they might historically have been using?
That is such a great question and beautifully put. So first of all, when I wrote this book, just as a slight sidebar, the reason that I waited as long as I did, I've been doing this now for 25, 26 years. And what I do is I support some of the world's largest corporations. I've been a leading face and voice for Cisco since 1997. I've got 20 some odd years invested in speaking for and supporting brands like IBM and Microsoft and Panasonic and Fujifilm and Siemens and Bayer and a lot of massive corporations. So what I have to do is I go in the door and I have to break down where their marketing strategy has been up until this point. And I have to say what needs to alter in order to make those value, passion, connection points. And the only way that we're going to do that is by fundamentally giving people a new way to think about it. The reason that I wrote the book the way that I did is I didn't want to just be informational. I wanted to also say, and here is how you do it. And literally every page giving you, here's how you might have been doing it, and here's how you could do it differently, and show people exactly what to do. So let's talk about the onboarding here, right? I call it onboarding better communication because it is almost like learning a new skill. Salespeople, marketers, they're very, very good at what they do. So nothing here is to put down all the sales strategy skills and the marketing development capabilities and the customer connection points that great marketers and salespeople in your audience have had for years. You're excellent at it. Think like the Olympian. Work with a coach, you work with a trainer to get that much better, to add a couple extra tools to your tool belt, to start to think differently about how you win, to engage your customer even better and up-level your success even further. So let's talk about it from this connection point. Opening with connection. What can you do right out of the gate? Well, like I said, start with structure. Begin by not talking about you, by not talking about your product, by not talking about your company. Do not give me proof points of how excellent you are, how long you've been around, how much market share you command, the awards that you've won. Why? Because those are all self-centered. Even if they're accurate, even if you really do build the best product on the market, your audience doesn't care about that at this point. What do they care about? themselves, not because they're selfish, but because of the 10,000 bits of stimuli and the binning that we talked about a moment ago. That means you've got to hit them where they live first. Then, once you've established that trust, that credibility, that foundational authority that makes them want to be in the room with you and listen to what you have to say, now you get to go to all of the statistical data to back it up. But initially, the connection has to begin with being personal. So how do you do it? Well, again, get to know your audience. We talked about that earlier. Who am I speaking with? What makes them tick? What do they care about most? Let me open by speaking about that. Let me try to find parallels between what they find vital and what I find vital so that I can create that human-to-human interaction between us long before I ever get to the meat of why we're here. Let me tell a story. Let me share something personally from within my life, positive or negative. I'm a big fan of negative stories, of talking about where I've failed, where I screwed up something so badly. Why? Because it makes me human. It makes me fallible, just like them. It proves I have messed up so many times. One of the things I would love to help you do today is not make the same error that I did. Let me tell you about that error and how I could have done a whole lot better and will do better in the future. And you can as well. Quotes. I love quotes, provided a quote reveals something about you. Why do you choose certain quotes? One of my big ones as a corporate storyteller is Carl Buhner. Everybody always misattributes the quote to Maya Angelou, although she did love it, which is, they may not remember what you told them, but they will always remember how you made them feel. If you can make someone feel something during an interaction, whether this is B2B marketing, whether this is strategy, whether this is sales, or just one-on-one communication, make them feel something, they will remember you and your content long after the conversation ends. When I use that quote, it not only talks about the genius of Carl Buhner, tells the audience a little something about me and what I find most important. If I open with money, if I open with data, if I open with metrics, the person I'm speaking with says, ah, that's what's most important to Steve. Steve is about the numbers. He's about the bottom line. He's about the sale. He's about the marketing. If I open with something very human and very personal, they say, oh, Steve is about the individual. He's about communicating with the person before communicating about the product. These are all initial ways that you can onboard better winning communication. They're all strategies to get you in the door and to start by talking about the other person instead of about yourself or your company.
This episode is so good. It's so good. ladies and gentlemen, I have to pull a golden nugget out of that last section, and it's simple. Two words. Evoke emotion.
Yeah, baby.
Evoke emotion. It is so powerful. So, Steve, what are the hurdles that get in the way? Where do people mess it up?
You ready for this? One word for you. Expertise. Expertise, for most marketers, most strategists, most salespeople, is not your friend. It is potentially your enemy. It's great to have experience. Experience is vital. The more time you spend in the field, the more you get to understand how interactions work. You understand your customer. You understand how to talk about your product. What it also does is it tends to put blinders on. I'm already good at what I do. Therefore, either nobody knows this better than me, or I don't really need any help. I'm already very successful. I'm the top sales representative of the company. You start to speak into a vacuum. It becomes, I have a set of things that I always talk about, and these are my go-tos. And wherever I go and whoever I speak with, I'm roughly going to tell the same story to everybody, no matter what their level of expertise is, no matter what their knowledge is. I'm going to speak the way I'm comfortable with speaking. This is what expertise can do. And that's what creates an obstacle to greater communication. The best communication happens when, first of all, you begin by assuming the lowest common denominator. If I have a concept or a product to sell, I need to speak to my audience first as though there is one person standing over in the corner of the room who just joined the company 2 months ago and hasn't learned about all of this yet. They need some extra support. I can't assume that they're an expert right out of the gate. At the same time, I've got another person sitting next to them who I've already got a 15-year existing relationship with, and they need to know what I'm going to do for them next. Good communication allows me to speak to both of those individuals and make sure they are both included in the conversation. Nobody is excluded. I'm not talking above anybody or below anybody. I'm looking at the room, reading the space, and what are we back to? Pillar number one, create value for everyone. And most marketing forgets the real value. They're too busy touting their product and too busy telling everybody how great they are at what they do. And the reality is, it doesn't win business because all of your competitors have their arguments, their KPIs, their metrics for why they actually are the best at what they do in the sector. And so do their competitors. And when you compete on that level, nobody wins. Four kinds of toilet paper lined up on the shelf, whether you're going to pick your Charmin or you're going to pick your Ultra or you're going to pick your, look, I don't even know who I'm
talking about. We're a Cottonelle family over here.
Who are the Bears? Are the Bears Charmin? I think the Bears are Charmin.
I think they are. Yeah, I think they are.
I just remember Mr. Whipple. Talk about dating myself.
Oh, there you go.
I know. So, four different toilet papers lined up. Everybody can say that their toilet paper is the best. If you don't create an emotional connection to that particular brand, to that particular product, everybody's just going to go based on price point. Fine, I'll buy the cheapest. Or I'll buy the one that I believe to be the softest. Meanwhile, the one next door to you, they're claiming to be the softest. It's a personal preference. But the key word there, personal. Don't let your expertise get in the way of understanding that really reaching out to your marketplace, especially in B2B, where it is human to human, we're not talking C2C, we're not even talking B2C here at this point, right? We are absolutely talking human to human. Personalize it, create emotion around it, as you just said a moment ago, George, that is where your success really lies.
Yeah, I love this so much. Blast from a past, please don't squeeze the Charmin, by the way. I'll just throw that out there. So here's the thing. There's been something ringing in my brain, and I was like, no, don't ask it. But in that last segment, you talked about talk tracks and, you know, kind of this just like, you know, it's almost like this programmed version of what you're going to say. And so I'm going to go off the beaten path. We're going to take a little bit more time of the listeners, but I think that's because this is going to add some value. And that is the word that keeps coming to my mind is, where does listening fit into all of this?
Boy, that is so good. And I'm glad you brought it up. Most communication is lecturing, right? It's not a conversation, it's a lecture. So most people, when they want to talk, they're going to go into a pitch session, they're going to go into a Zoom meeting or a WebEx meeting, they're going to stand up on stage at an event, a conference, whatever it happens to be, and they have their talk track all set. Here's my script. Here's what I'm going to work with. And what does that script usually not incorporate? Any sort of querying of the audience, engaging and involving them in the conversation, and making them as important in the room as you are. Again, it's got to start with empowering the individual or individuals that you are speaking with, not empowering yourself. Their success is your success. Give them what they need. Create that value for them. You're going to soar. You're going to just fly on their backs. They are the hero. So if you think about it in terms of hero's journey, for example, you think Joseph Campbell, right? Most companies, most marketers, they mistake the roles in the hero's journey. The hero's journey is all about taking somebody, an individual, the hero, out of their comfort zone, getting them to step across a threshold on a road to something new. You've been here, you've got certain amount of success at that point, but now you want to step across that line. B2B marketing is all about this, right? Let me guide you toward a new reality, a new vision. People don't like to leave their comfort zones. We don't like change. So we're going to resist that. But you've got to hold your hand out. You've got to usher them across that threshold, walk them down the road to success. And eventually, if you lay out your argument correctly, strategically, structured, what's going to happen is you will get them to see the logical conclusion. You've seen all of the arguments. You've seen why this is going to be great for you. So now all I need you to do is take the final step across that line and poof. New reality. Well, guess what? Most companies, most businesses believe they are the hero. I am the one who is delivering this great capability to a hungry marketplace. You are not the hero. Your customer is the hero. You are the mentor. You are there to guide them to their success. Make them successful. Your organization, your company, you personally become more successful yourself because of the hero's success, right? That is the actual journey that we are talking about guiding people along. Does that all... would that get to us like way too esoteric and way too storytelling?
No, I absolutely love it. It's funny because my brain is screaming out pieces and parts of what we talked about, and that is masters are always learning and mentors are always teaching. And if you can just throw that in your brain and add it to your B2B mix, you are going to be off to the races, ladies and gentlemen. Steve, go ahead.
Can I interrupt you? I've got one more thing I want to add because I think we are at that time, but I realized you asked me a question there that I didn't quite get to, and that is, how can you begin to sort of open that door to communication? I said a moment ago that most talks, most interactions are lectures rather than conversations. Engage your audience and let them be as much a part of any talk or interaction that you have as you are. They are really the goal for you. If you're in service of them, if you want to create value for them, they are not just as important as you are in that interaction. They are more important. They are the goal and the target. So include them. Whatever scripting you have, whatever talk track you have, as a sales representative, as a marketer, include your audience in that Now you open the door to two-way communication, and that is the guaranteed path to success for both of you.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're sitting here like, well, how do I dive deeper into that voice of customer? Make sure you check out the Nate Brown episode that we did a while back, because it was absolutely fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, Steve, this has been amazing. I have one last question for you, and it can go on the super duper uber human side if you want, or it can be about communication and B2B marketing. It's totally up to you. But what are some final words of wisdom that you want to leave with the Marketing Smarts audience?
All right. So anybody who has ever thought about marketing, always, always, always market in the voice of your customer and never in the voice of your organization. And if you don't know the difference, it means you need to get to know your customer better and ask yourself what if questions. What if questions are the best. Blue sky thinking. Open it up. No limitations. What if my customer was able to do this? What if my customer was able to achieve this level of benefit? What if we were able to provide this thing that we can't afford and that we don't know how to build, but what if we could build it and deliver it and offer it to our marketplace? What if thinking opens up possibilities and allows you to start thinking about what your customer wants from you, what they really want from you, not what your shareholders want, not what your bottom line wants, not what your sales team or your supply chain wants. Think about your customer. The more you do that and put the focus on them, the more likely you are to see remarkable percentage growth and scale, the likes of which you haven't seen before.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Liz Murphy about the importance of being human in your B2B content, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.